from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
To every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station. The Score!
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Roycroft deals, and a dribbler up the first baseline, fielded by Roycroft, and now he drops the ball. Cubs tie up the game. Everybody's safe as Bellinger scores. 1-1 here in the fourth.
And the Cubs still have men at the corners.
Corner goes, little dribbler by Swanson up the third baseline, fielded by the catcher Páez. His throw to first in time to get Swanson, but the Cubs take the lead.
Kicks and fires.
High fly ball hit to deep left field. Going back, Donovan at the track near the wall. Looks up. It's gone. Ian Happ gets the Cubs a cushion. A three-run home run to left center field.
A crowd on its feet here at Wrigley Field. Cardinals down to their last strike. Miller sets at the belt. High leg kick and pitch.
Called strike three.
Got him with the fastball, and the Cubs have evened up the series as they beat the Cardinals for the first time this season. Cubs 5, St. Louis 1.
A drive to right center field. Back at the wall, and DeJong goes yard. What a June he has had. Swing at that first pitch is Andrew Vaughn, high in the air to right, and it's gone! Drew Vaughn, and he extends the lead. Sox are up 4-1 here in the fifth.
Banks did not get the call there, so it's 2-0 to Carroll.
There's a chopper to second. Mendick to first, and that'll do it. Four home runs tonight for the White Sox. And the final, 9-2 over the Diamondbacks.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Everyone, good morning, good morning, good morning. Ready to sing? Here we go. Ah. Sing along with that low brass. All you tuba enthusiasts. Here you come. Bass saxophone enthusiasts. Barry's. Yeah, I don't know. Just trombone and maybe Barry sax. Good morning, everybody. Matt Spiegel here with you. It is Hit and Run on 670 The Score. By my very, very recent research, I think May the 4th is the last Saturday that featured both a Cubs win and a White Sox win. Here we are. It's June 15th. And because I remember breaking down Cubs losses, and then I checked through in May, and May the 4th is the last one I see. Because breaking down White Sox losses, I mean, of course. But not today, people. Four home runs for the White Sox late night against the scuffling and struggling Arizona Diamondbacks. Corey Lee and Andrew Vaughn have homered several times together. As several times together as teammates with the White Sox. Andrew Vaughn, three times as MLB teammates. He and Corey Lee have now homered. Two of those coming this year. They did it five times as teammates at Cal, all in 2018 and 2019. That from Sarah Langs. That's kind of cool. Lenin Sosa having himself a month. And, of course, Paul DeJong having a very good run as he openly lobbies to be traded to a team that might get into the postseason and a team that might give the White Sox something good. There's news on that front a little bit. As always, one of the national writers with extreme White Sox connections has dropped in something very deep in his Sunday column. We'll get to that a little bit later on. It's always there. It's clockwork. And certainly lots of conversation with you, the listener. We're going to start with Shota Imanaga and the Cubs in a matter of moments. But just a reminder that the phone lines are wide open starting right now at 312-644-6767. You can hop in and join us right here on Hit and Run. The associate producer is indeed here today, so he will work with you and provide outstanding call screening services, as he always does. It is Father's Day, so we've got a couple of baseball dads coming on the show today. Very much looking forward to one of the baseball dads. He is mine. My father coming on at 91. Dude still packs a fastball cognitively. I am very, very fortunate that Pop Spiegel is up to date on things, is conversational, is smart and chatty, and one of my favorite radio guests. So he'll join us in about an hour, the archetypal baseball fan of my entire life. And then Nicky Lopez's father, Bob Lopez, is going to be on the show today. Dude is a 16-inch softball legend. Flat-out 16-inch softball legend. Chicago softball royalty, I am told. I have people in the softball community grabbing his bio and sending me his softball bio via email. That's coming a little bit later. I'm very excited to read that and pick nuggets of it to talk to Bob Lopez, because his son, a local product, what's it like? What's it like watching his son play for a local team? Unbelievable. So looking forward to that. Along the way, your phone calls, your texts, not merely welcome, but elemental to the very completion of the broadcast at 312-644-6767. That's the Score listener line, which is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We are taking you up to a very early and special Cubs broadcast time. Cubs series against Cardinals concludes today from Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage begins at 11:30 with first pitch at 12:05, and the Score has the only local broadcast of the game. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. Look, a couple of programming notes. In a week, it will be the day that Ryan Sandberg's statue will be revealed that night and that morning on Hit and Run. So 1 week from today, Bob Costas will join me. Bob Costas at 11 a.m. next week. Was checking in with Bob, as I have been, which has been very, very fun to check in with Bob about various baseball things since he was a guest on the podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, last year. Bob and I sometimes trade baseball trivia. That's kind of a thrill, I'll be honest. So anyway, Bob will be on a week from today. And by the way, next Friday, the 21st at 6 p.m., is the premiere of, quote, A Salute to Sandberg, unquote. A one-hour documentary honoring the legacy of Ryan Sandberg before the statue is revealed. Mark Grody's going to host that, which will feature interviews with Ryan Sandberg himself, Andre Dawson, and more, plus standout memories from Rhino's career. Premieres next Friday from 6 to 7 right here on your home of the Cubs, 670 The Score. All right, let's get to it, okay? It's Father's Day. You want to talk about your relationship with your father as imbued by baseball? You can certainly do that. But also, White Sox with a win, and the Cubs with a much-needed win. Shota Imanaga was brilliant again. He might be the best pitcher in the National League. It's entirely possible that he is. He's third right now in ERA in the National League, behind Ronaldo Lopez, who just barely qualifies, and has been absolutely terrific, and Ranger Suarez, who has been phenomenal all year. But Shota has been absolutely remarkable. And he was incredible yesterday, and he had to be. On a day when the wind was blowing out, here's what it sounded like as he struck out six, and the last one was the best. Brendan Donovan with an unbelievably important strikeout to end the seventh.
Shota Imanaga, 196 ERA, 6-1 record for 69 innings of work. First career start against the Cardinals. He was supposed to start against them in St. Louis.
Swing and a miss, struck him out.
And he gets himself yet another swing and miss on that split finger pitch.
Burleson laces that one to left. The tap is there, and it's out number two. Swing and a miss, struck him out. Imanaga gets him 1-2-3, including a couple of punch outs. Line drive caught at third. Morrell has it. And that's the inning. Absolutely. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Got him on the splitter. Wind down on strikes. And Imanaga looking good here today. He has struck out four. High fly ball right field. Has it. And that's the third out. The air right field. It's Suzuki charging in. Saya has it. And Mike gets him 1-2-3. On the ground, Swanson throws out Goldschmidt. And Imanaga with six strong innings here today. Swing and a miss, struck him out, and he made Gorman look bad. Back to work here, 2-2. Two on, two out. Got him! And he is fired up. Shota Imanaga strands two, and it stays a one-run Cubs lead. He's been as good a pitcher as there's been in the National League this year.
That is Boog Shambi right there, along with Jim Deshaies on Marquee. I had the good fortune to be down the hall doing pregame, postgame, in the fifth inning of play-by-play, and watching Shota pump the fist twice after that strikeout of Nolan Gorman, and then do a little pirouette and pump the fist again was just awesome. And the crowd absolutely going crazy. The man is really, really fun, which we knew from the get-go. You remember Shota at the home opener? Danny Parkins and I broadcasting from Wrigley, and I remember saying, all right, look, Shota is fun. This is going to be fun. And you can see that it is, and you can even hear that it is. After the game, Shota was talking to Taylor McGregor about what he was thinking about during that strikeout of Brendan Donovan, which lasted a good long while. Here's Shota.
I was pretty hungry, so I was thinking about what kind of food and nutrition I should take after the game. This is my honest thoughts.
Shota was thinking about what he was going to eat. Honestly, that was her thoughts. Goofball. Here's Yan Gomes talking about Shota saying that.
What? Is that really?
Yes.
Okay, Shota, chill out, man. I have three other innings to think about. I wasn't thinking about what I... No.
That's hilarious. I got three other innings to think about, Shota. Really just two, and Tyson Miller covered them. But, Shota's saying, all right, this is my last one, and then I'm going to go eat. He's got a real way of staying calm and happy and, like, competitive at the same time. Listen to Craig Counsell talking about Shota, because sometimes he will tussle with the umpire. And tussle's the wrong word. Sometimes he will look at the umpire and give him a look. We've seen the looks when a fly ball doesn't go out and how relieved he is. But he's got a way of doing it, which Counsell talked about after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think, he does it in like in a somehow he does it in a friendly way, it feels like, but he's competing at the same time. That's hard to do. I know I don't have that trait. And it's just fun to watch him do that he can kind of stay within himself and keep the competitor going and stay in the moment really well. It's cool to watch.
So I love that. He competes, but in like a friendly way. Which is a great way to do it, man. If you can get along with umps while you're challenging them with a smile, come on. That's how you get calls through the years and through a career, because they'll respond to that. It's freaking brilliant. So I don't think that's necessarily a strategy. That's just that dude's vibe. And he's got an unbelievably great vibe. Also, when he pitches... In the 13 games that Shota has started, the Cubs are 11-2. That's 9 over .500. The problem is that sometimes he doesn't pitch, and they're 12 under .500 when he does not pitch. That adds up to where we are, 3 under .500. So we enjoy the game yesterday. They've been in 28 one-run games, as you know. Going into yesterday, it was 6 of the last 10. There's been no laugher since May the 15th. No comfortable win. That one was comfortable. But this team has issues. The trade deadline is a ways away. But if you had to move early, what would you move for? What would you trade for? That's backdrop for some phone calls and texts from you at 312-644-6767. You can only give me one. What spot would you move for if you're going to go early? Because early means aggressive. Early means giving up perhaps more than you're comfortable giving up. Or if you know in your back, in the back of your mind, that you're actually comfortable giving up something that people really want, maybe you pounce. For instance, if you've decided, you know what, as much as I like him, Owen Casey, this is your moment to get dealt. If you've decided, we're going to hold on to Kevin Alcantara, we're going to hold on to Canario, we're going to hold on to Brennan Davis, but Casey's the guy, I don't like that idea because a lefty slug with corner outfield and maybe first base potential.
That's your guy.
Oh, man, I don't like that. But hey, if they've decided, okay, but I don't love that. But what are you going to get? I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. Later on, when we do the team of the moment next hour, you'll hear yet another Cubs cast-off arm with a dominant moment in Major League Baseball. So we'll talk about that later on. In the meantime, your phone calls. Sox fans, welcome as well. I would entertain trade conversations for Luis Robert. I would not entertain trade conversations for Garrett Crochet. I mean, maybe I would entertain the conversations, but I wouldn't get rid of that dude. And I said it last week, and I still feel that way. Another dominant start this week against a Seattle team, which doesn't hit well, of course. But my God, did you see what Crochet did the other night? We'll talk about that, and I'll share that nugget that the National Baseball Voice has dropped in to the end of his column, as he always seems to do on Sundays. It's Matt Spiegel here with you. This
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Is Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Hop on in.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
There it is. A new career high, 12 strikeouts for Garrett Crochet.
He has been excellent all night. He gets his 12th strikeout on a cutter down and into Haniger. You'd love to see.
Take a seat. Strikeout number 13.
Another nasty, nasty breaking pitch. Look at the location on this. It's a strike the whole way, and then all of a sudden in off the plate.
Garrett Crochet comes out and pitches a 1-2-3-7. Way to go.
Was the seventh and final inning that Crochet saw on Thursday night against the Mariners. Folks, he was outrageously good. Outrageously. The best pitch in baseball is a well-located fastball, and he finished that outing with 46 straight fastballs. 46 straight heaters! What?! Because they were looking slider. He threw one changeup the whole game, and it was hit for a home run, the only run that he gave up. So it was, as he said, a see-if-you-can-hit-it day. That is the highest ratio of fastballs to non-fastballs in an outing since John Lackey threw 113 fastballs and nothing else on September 19th of 2013. That's hilarious. So look, his first 15 career starts, Garrett Crochet has struck out 116 batters and walked only 19. He's the first left-handed pitcher in the history of baseball to have numbers like that. First ever. Dude is an ace. Will he stay healthy? Will he survive a workload? I don't know. But he's making $800,000, folks. You got a guy. You found a dude. You drafted him. And if he can survive on fastball predominantly like that over the course of a life, a career, my goodness. He's already had Tommy John once. Will his arm explode and will he need it again? Maybe. If you sign him to a cheap extension, like a manageable extension at this point or, you know, soon, and his arm blows up and he misses a year, is it still going to be worth it? Yes. Remember these conversations when Chris Sale was that guy? Remember all the fear and terror of Chris Sale's arm exploding? And instead, He kept going and going and going. His arm exploded when, by the time he was with the Red Sox, but then he'd won a World Series. Here's Bob Nightingale in USA Today. A long article about Ron Washington and some other things about MLB security, and then he gets to around the base pass, and the first item is this. The Chicago White Sox realize that Garrett Crochet's value may never be higher, so their asking price is exorbitant, hoping that contenders aren't deterred by Crochet's injury history and the need to curtail his innings in the second half, perhaps making him a reliever in the postseason. Boy, what a weapon that would be, by the way. Certainly, it's a potential trade that could shape the White Sox franchise for the next decade. The last time they were in a full-scale rebuild with a left-handed ace, 2016, they traded Chris Sale to the Red Sox for four prospects, Yoan Moncada, Michael Kopech, Luis Alexander Basabe, and Victor Diaz. It was an absolute bust, which has left the White Sox resorting to yet another rebuild. While the Red Sox won the 2018 World Series with Sale, who still had 3 years remaining on his deal, the White Sox chose the wrong prospects, passing up on future All-Star third baseman Rafael Devers and taking Moncada. I've shared that many a time. Devers, they said no to. They wanted Benintendi, and the Red Sox didn't say yes to that. But Devers they could have had, and they chose Moncada because of his defense. The White Sox can ill afford to make the same blunder with Crochet, who has been the game's most dominant pitcher the last three starts and perhaps the most coveted starter on the market. So, look, that's saying that that's pumping up the trade value and saying that his value may never be higher and that the White Sox can't make the same mistake, but that is stoking the flames. That is stoking the flames, and it's understandable to ask if the ball club is in on this flame stokage here to Bob Nightingale. So, interesting. I would not trade Crochet. I think you've got one. I think you found one. And, I mean, the more of those young starters that you have, the quicker you can get respectable. I'm not saying by next year, but possibly. I mean, you add a whole bunch of position players. It's possible. Get some aggressive promotions. Let's see what Colson Montgomery can do in the second half of the year. Crochet, Drew Thorpe, Jonathan Cannon is impressing some people. I'm down with using the young starters methodology of getting respectable and not trading him. Luis Robert, I myself would absolutely entertain possibilities for that. As good as he is, as exciting as he is, you can get three position players of consequence for Luis Robert, and only a couple of them work out. I think it's worth it. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's go to the phone lines. What would you trade for if you were the Cubs and you've got to make a move early? Might mean being aggressive. What would you do? This is Michael in Illinois who starts us off on 670 The Score. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Hey, Speaks. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hey, I've got one name, and he's going to be in town later next week, so we can save the cost of the plane ticket for trading for him in July, and that is Pete Alonso. We've got very nice players on our team. We need a superstar. Plug him in, let him DH the rest of the year, play first maybe on days when Bush isn't going to play, and you can extend him in the off season. But look, you've got the best starting staff, one of the best, in the National League, and you put a power bat behind Bellinger, and then you go get a closer in July, and you see what you can do this year. But we need a superstar. Pete Alonso is my guy.
Thank you. Pete Alonso not hitting like a superstar this year, with an OPS of 760 as it stands. Pete in the month of June, 10 for 48. But you know that Pete is an absolute terror in terms of home runs. He's got 14 the last 2 years, 46 and 40. Dude stays healthy, plays a decent enough first base that you can survive, will be a free agent at the end of the year. It will be very interesting to see when the Mets become truly open for business. Right now, the New York Mets are 8-2 in their last 10 games. They're 5 games under 500. They're 14.5 back of the Phillies, but they're only 2 back in the wild card. So I don't think the Mets are going to move as quickly as we have been thinking. Do you get aggressive for Pete Alonso? I don't want to give up Owen Casey. You know who I'd consider giving up for Pete Alonso? Huh. This is not going to go over well, at least in this room. If they're smitten with getting Pete Crow Armstrong back, I'd go ahead and do that. I'd go ahead and do that, folks. I've got some PCA frustration that has built. The man is looking to slug, Sean. He's part of an issue with that lineup. He's looking to pull the ball and slug. Stop.
He is trying to swing the bat really hard.
What are you doing? Yesterday, with a chance to bunt a runner over, he pops up one. I'm frustrated, man. When you watch batting practice, as I got a chance to do sitting up there, and you're talking to people on press level about hitters and about the Cubs, it only emboldens a thought process that I shared the other day on Friday. They got too many guys who were looking to hit fly balls in the air and pull them as an organizational mandate when they don't have the power to go deep in the big leagues. They don't have the power. They're fifth in all of baseball in fly ball percentage. They're trying to put the ball up in the air. How about line drive percentage? I checked this one. They're 29th in line drive percentage. I know that it's hard to hit three singles, but man, keep the line moving sometimes. Just try to go the other way. Accept some singles. Maybe you'll get a double the other way. And the byproduct of that good approach might be some slug when you get out in front. But my goodness, Pete, stop trying to slug. I know that was a welcome thing in your minor league life that you brought some slug, but I don't think it's going to play up here against big-time competition.
No, I think the moments you and I have both been really complimentary of PCA is when he's creating on the base pass, when he's like looking explosive going first to third. Like, that's where you need to see him doing that. You don't have to hit the ball over the wall. Just get on base and let the other dudes drive you.
Yeah, now, he has to. He has to. And when he bunts for a hit or like chaos is created, absolutely, that can be helpful. You saw what Craig Counsell did yesterday, hit and runs. Did it twice in that inning where they scored two runs. One time, Seiya Suzuki hit what would be a normal ground ball to short, but because it was a hit and run, shortstop came over to cover. All of a sudden, it's first and third. Instead, the Nico dribbler that scored a run when Roy Croft dropped it, that was another hit and run with Bellinger moving. He got to third base easy on an infield hit. You know, you got to get active. You got to be aggressive as a manager, just like the three bunts the other night. While this team is not hitting, you got to do what you can to be active. And while this team is not hitting, you, non-slugger, should try to go up the middle the other way. Listen to Freddie Freeman and aim for over the shortstop's head if you're a left-handed hitter every time. I was talking to Coomer about that yesterday, and he said, when I thought opposite field every time, it just meant that I was timed up in general. Then, when a fastball came inside and I adjusted with my hands, all of a sudden, I'm pulling the ball with authority. Say, you let the pitch do the work for you that helps you pull the ball. And I was like, damn it, that is acumen right there. That is hitting acumen. And it made me want to call Eno Saris back from our conversation last week and say, Eno, dig this. Former big leaguer who hit a bunch of bombs said he was thinking oppo every single effing time. And then the pitch coming inside would do the work for him instead of trying to slug it. My goodness, the light bulb moment yesterday. That's why this game is the best. In your 50s, you can have a conversation at press level and rethink the way that you've thought about hitting your entire life. So look, if it's not going to be PCA, yes, I would deal one of your righty outfielders who are blocked by both your MLB outfielders that you're paying real salaries to in Hap and Seiya, and also blocked by some other prospects.
Yeah, we got plenty of outfielders. We only got one kid with blue hair, man. Stop trying to trade him.
Okay, I'll stop considering trading him when he starts to go the other way.
All right.
That's yeah, fair. You feel me. This is Bill on the north side on 670 The Score. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Father's Day.
Hey, thank you very much to you, too, if it indeed does apply. It's always a tricky one to say Happy Father's Day back to somebody when you don't know if they're a dad. So, you know.
It indeed applies.
Yay!
Love the show. Love what you do with Danny during the week. And appreciate you on the broadcast yesterday. It was fun.
Thanks.
I want to say it's too early. And you know, this team as of Friday with 33 and 37, the same record as last year with Ross. We got 6 weeks before the deadline. I just don't think you know yet what this team can do. I don't think they're going to beat the Phillies or the Dodgers or maybe even the Brewers in an NLCS. So I don't want to give away the youth. And the thing that bothers me today is DJ Herbs, right? This guy we gave up for Hymar Candelario as a rental, 13 strikeouts yesterday. That guy looks good. I don't want to be giving away the young talent for a year, which I don't think we're really going to even make the playoffs. So I would be inclined to stay put, and maybe we end up dealing half if we're totally out of it.
Thank you, Bill. Wow, there's a seller thought at the end from Bill. Here's the second nugget in Bob Nightingale's around the base pass portion. Quote, several GMs and baseball executives say they can't help but laugh at the breathless reports about the trade deadline, which is still 6 weeks away. Quote, come on, nothing is going to happen until the final 48 to 72 hours, one GM said. That's the way it always works. And right now, it's quiet. We're all focused on the draft. So look, we're breathlessly talking about it. The truth is, it does happen sometimes. There is an aggressive early trade. Sometimes it's in early July. Sometimes if you're A.J. Preller, you're a freaking madman. You go out and get Luis Arraez already, you know? So there are certain crazy people out there who will go and
Jose
be
Quintana,
aggressive.
I think, as well. That was an early trade deadline.
Quintana, check John Lester to Oakland from Boston.
Ooh,
I want to say, that's right around the 4th of July. So, yeah, it does happen from time to time. That's for sure, but it does take a little bit of a steeper asking price at times. But yeah, most teams are going to sit around and see what they have. If you're the Cubs, what do you have? Do you know? You know you've got a team with a lot of different issues. God, it's hard for me to make a bullpen trade. It's hard for me to make a bullpen trade when you've got a bunch of other issues. But if you did trade for a bona fide closer, everybody slots down a little bit. And there's another reason why you might have to consider that, which I'll get to in a second. This is Joe in St. Charles on Hit and Run on the Score. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, I got to tell you, man, I was listening to your fifth inning yesterday. And I'm telling you, in my opinion, it was music. You have really gotten good. And keep it up, man.
Hey, man, that means a lot. I appreciate it. It's really hard to do it when you get a chance every once in a while. It's like, how do you stay focused? I listened to the radio a lot this week, which I would recommend because Pat Hughes is just freaking remarkable. But I listened to the radio a lot, and then I did a few innings at the coffee table on Friday. But yeah, yesterday was the most comfortable it has been in a while. So I appreciate that, Joe. What else you got? Anything else you want to talk about, sir?
I just wanted to, you know, when I heard that inning and there was nothing special happening, but I sat up and just went, Spiegs is good at this. and I really, it was hard for me to wait until 9 o'clock this morning to call to tell you.
Oh, man, that is super kind of you, Joe. Thank you. You know, it's interesting. I'll share this with you guys. I do that podcast, as I mentioned, the PBP. I've talked to, I don't know, I think so far it's been 32, 33 different Major League Baseball broadcasters. This week's episode is really fun, by the way. It's a different one. My nephew, Jack McMullen, who some of you have heard on this show before, who's a AAA broadcaster for Indy, he's 25. His partner is Howard Kelman, who is 73. And Howard has been there for a long, long time. That's the first full-time job he ever got, and he's still there. So their partnership is fascinating. It's a really fun conversation. That's this week. Next week, I can tell you, is Dave Fleming of the San Francisco Giants, who is the partner of John Miller. But anyway, as I've done that, the message has always been this. Take your ego and yourself out of it. Remember, the first episode this year, I asked Brian Anderson, the Brewers broadcaster, how do you balance, as I always often ask, being entertaining with being a good technician at play-by-play? And he said, I struggle with the word entertaining. That's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. You don't try to do that. You serve the ball game. You make it about the ball game. And for me as a talk show host, I like to be entertaining. My mandate as a talk show host is to be entertaining. To be a play-by-play person is not to be entertaining. If that happens to come out through the osmosis of you doing what you're supposed to do, then great. And we all love entertaining play-by-play people, but think about it. It's like 4% of their total broadcast, 5% of their total broadcast. It's not what it's about. It's about the ball game. So yesterday felt really nice to just serve the ball game and focus on the ball game. Thanks very much for the kind words, Joe. Really appreciate that. Texters getting in on what they would trade and who they would trade at 312-644-6767. Here's one. Speaks, do you really want to see the Cubs trade away good prospects for someone like Alonso? That would do nothing for this current very average core. Cubs need to keep what they have. Already wasted Ferris for Michael Bush. Jackson Ferris might be very good, and he is the pitcher that went to the Dodgers for Michael Bush. I don't want to give up a really, really good prospect. I want you to be super smart and try to hook David Stearns with some lower level prospects and whichever one of your righty corner outfielders you can convince them to take, because they need position players and they'll want to get power back for Alonso. I do think it would make a big difference to have a bopper, have a stone cold home run stud in the middle of that lineup and have everybody know it. Take a little heat off Seiya. Take a little heat off Bellinger. Hell, man. Caller's idea of having Alonso behind Bellinger. Can you imagine Cody Bellinger with that incredible bat control and that knowledge of the strike zone having a better idea of when he's going to get a fastball? I mean, goodness. He needs that. I do think that would make a big effect. And I think that would have a bigger effect, in my opinion, than going to get a closer who you may not even get to.
That's exactly how I feel. I think a big bat solves a lot more problems than a closer does.
And psychologically gives a boost, shows that faith, and hopefully will relax this lineup from everyone trying to do too much. Think about that quote from Bellinger a few weeks back about everybody sort of pressing, trying to hit a three-run homer on their own. Think about how often Council talks about three-run homers and two-run homers. And I know they're great, but man, you talk about it that much, and you're the front office, and you talk about it that much, and you tell these guys to hit the ball in the air, which they're doing. Of course they're trying to press and do too much. We admire offenses that keep the line moving and just try to make good contact and avoid swing and miss, and that's what this team needs more than anything. And if the presence of a bopper who will bomb can relax some of the other people in the lineup, that would be the move to make. 312-644-6767. Team of the moment next hour. My dad, Herb Spiegel, at the top of the hour. Your conversation about fathers and baseball and more on The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
The next pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Shota gets Goldschmidt with the splitter. Imanaga works on the first base side of the rubber. The pitch, a swing and a miss, strike three. Got him with a splitter. Win retired, one away.
Imanaga with the strikeout. So much fun. Happy Father's Day, Matt, says a texter. I don't see us getting more value than we can now. Do you think packaging PCA and Morel together could get us a Vlad Jr. and polar bear level player? My dad says trade two of them for Mike Schmidt. If your dad can get the Cubs Mike Schmidt, I would absolutely do that, even at his advanced age. You're not going to trade Morel. Morel is a budding offensive superstar.
He leads the team in walks. Isn't that nuts?
He leads the team in walks. That is crazy, because he also leads them in home runs and RBIs.
He's good at a lot of things.
Yeah,
man.
He's good at a lot of things and getting better. And with an effervescent joy that is wonderful. He might be a full-time DH. That's a little problematic. But you can use that against him in salary arbitration, and you can use that against him when signing him to an extension. And he is survivable most days for 6 to 7 innings at third base. Problem is then you have to take him out in full because you can't move him to DH. Can you imagine if they changed that rule? You know? But they're not going to. So anyway, Morel, you're not going to move. PCA, I'm frustrated. I do think a change of offensive approach here at the big leagues is very much called for PCA. But we'll see. There is one texter, by the way, who is really, and sir, sign your text next time. This guy, he was all over Corey Jolks as somebody the White Sox should grab.
Wow.
He's that guy, that texture. I assume it's a man, I don't know. But he was all over the 4A player roster churn. I wonder if he was on Tyson Miller when he was DFA'd by the Seattle Mariners. Right now, he has scouted the Angels, and he wants Luis Rengifo, who is a tremendous multi-position utility guy, can play both corner outfields and just about everywhere on the infield. He wants Patrick Sandoval, the lefty starting pitcher. I don't know if the Cubs are going to go trade for a starting pitcher. And he wants the catcher, Matt Tice. Now, Matt Tice, I believe it's pronounced Tice, it's T-H-A-I-S-S, is not a good hitter. So I'm not sure why we'd be trading for a catcher with who is not a good hitter. But I do appreciate your knowledge of the league and your willingness to churn.
Patrick Sandoval, I agree. Don't think they trade for him. That's an interesting name.
I don't know if people heard Craig Counsell on Friday about Ben Brown, and now you've got Jordan Wicks. And now we've got also Cade Horton. I mean, that's your starting pitcher, young depth, getting swallowed. Seriously. Let me tell you this, that Ben Brown's injury, as described by Craig Counsell. Do you have the one from in-game? You have the one from in-game on Marquee? Let's hear that. They talk about Jordan Wicks, who had just left with the oblique, but he also talks about Ben Brown a little bit on that one.
What is the update in terms of the injury to Jordan Wicks?
It was an oblique. Felt it pretty good, so we'll just have to see what the doctors say after the game where we're at.
Craig, also Ben Brown on the IL with the neck thing. There's an update on him today. Stress reaction, I'm not familiar with. What does that mean?
Yeah, it means there's the kind of beginnings of a stress fracture in one of his vertebrae and in his neck. And it's a little bit of a rare injury for sure in baseball and for pitchers. So we're trying to do more work essentially on what does that mean in terms of, downtime and what he's able to do while he has that. He really just felt it kind of when he got to high intensity, but we'll have to see what the best way to get it to heal the fastest is.
Dude, the beginnings of a stress fracture in one of the vertebrae on his neck. And he feels it when he gets to high intensity. And we're trying to figure out what it means. Get more opinions. Talk about it. I have no idea when we'll see Ben Brown again. No idea. I'm not going to throw weeks or months out there, but they have no idea. If when he gets to high intensity and starts throwing hard, his neck starts to hurt and it's because there's the beginnings of a stress fracture, you can't let that get worse. You go in and fix it? I don't know. And then Jordan Wicks with the grade 2 oblique. So, I mean, maybe they do need a starting pitcher. Maybe they will need a starting pitcher. What they will definitely need is to look in the minors and have more depth ready to go for a starting pitcher. Scary, in my opinion. Need Cade Horton back because he might... But Cade Horton's still in full shutdown mode here. Rough spot. Let's talk to Jeff in Wisconsin on 670 The Score. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Speaks. God bless you. God bless all the fathers out there. And man, did I love seeing Billy Williams sing yesterday. He was my favorite player growing up.
That's awesome, Jeff. Billy was supposed to be on the video screen doing Take Me Out to the Ball Game from previous years. Instead, he showed up and did it in person. And it just totally sent a charge through the ballpark. Oh, no. Jeff, put him back up. See if his cell got better. He's been hanging on a long time. Jeff, you there? Nope. We have lost Jeff. What a sad time for everybody. Texter says, Spiegs, respectfully disagree on Morrell. I don't think he's a long-term answer. I think we should get some value now. Either way, thanks a bunch. Have a great day. And Tributosaurus rocks. You're kind. Let's talk to you about your fathers. If you want to dial it up and get involved, we're going to devote a lot of the next hour to your fathers and baseball. And we're going to talk to a dad at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, Nicky Lopez's father, Bob. And I just keep getting more information about Bob Lopez's 16-inch softball cred in this town. It is unbelievable.
Connected sources, man.
I know. My favorite baseball fan, Herb Spiegel, joins next on Father's Day on The Score. On The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
The next pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three. Shota gets Goldschmidt with the splitter. Imanaga works on the first base side of the rubber. The pitch, a swing and a miss, strike three. Got him with a splitter, win retired, one away.
Imanaga with the strikeout. So much fun. Happy Father's Day, Matt, says a texter. I don't see us getting more value than we can now. Do you think packaging PCA and Morrell together could get us a Vlad Jr. and polar bear level player? My dad says trade two of them for Mike Schmidt. If your dad can get the Cubs Mike Schmidt, I would absolutely do that, even at his advanced age. You're not going to trade Morrell. Morrell is a budding offensive superstar.
He leads the team in walks. Isn't that nuts?
He leads the team in walks. That is crazy because he also leads them in home runs and RBIs.
He's good at a lot of things.
Yeah,
man.
He's good at a lot of things and getting better, and with an effervescent joy that is wonderful. He might be a full-time DH. That's a little problematic, but you can use that against him in salary arbitration, and you can use that against him when signing him to an extension. And he is survivable most days for 6 to 7 innings at third base. Problem is then you have to take him out in full because you can't move him to DH. Can you imagine if they changed that rule? You know? But they're not going to. So anyway, Morrell, you're not going to move. PCA, I'm frustrated. I do think a change of offensive approach here at the big leagues is very much called for PCA. But we'll see. There is one texter, by the way, who is really, and sir, sign your text next time. This guy, he was all over Corey Jolks as somebody the White Sox should grab.
Wow.
He's that guy, that texter. I assume it's a man, I don't know. But he was all over the 4A player roster churn. I wonder if he was on Tyson Miller when he was DFA'd by the Seattle Mariners. Right now, he has scouted the Angels, and he wants Luis Rengifo, who is a tremendous multi-position utility guy, can play both corner outfields and just about everywhere on the infield. He wants Patrick Sandoval, the lefty starting pitcher. I don't know if the Cubs are going to go trade for a starting pitcher. And he wants the catcher, Matt Tice. Now, Matt Tice, I believe it's pronounced Tice, it's T-H-A-I-S-S, is not a good hitter. So I'm not sure why we'd be trading for a catcher who is not a good hitter. But I do appreciate your knowledge of the league and your willingness to churn.
Patrick Sandoval, I agree. Don't think they trade for him. That's an interesting name.
I don't know if people heard Craig Counsell on Friday about Ben Brown, and now you've got Jordan Wicks. And now we've got also Cade Horton. I mean, that's your starting pitcher, young depth, getting swallowed. Seriously. Let me tell you this, that Ben Brown's injury, as described by Craig Counsell. Do you have the one from in-game? You have the one from in-game on Marquee. Let's hear that. They talk about Jordan Wicks, who had just left with the oblique, but he also talks about Ben Brown a little bit on that one.
What is the update in terms of the injury to Jordan Wicks?
It was an oblique. Felt it pretty good, so we'll just have to see what the doctors say after the game, where we're at.
Craig, also Ben Brown on the IL with the neck thing. There's an update on him today. Stress reaction, I'm not familiar with. What does that mean?
Yeah, it means there's the kind of beginnings of a stress fracture in one of his vertebrae and in his neck. And it's a little bit of a rare injury for sure in baseball and for pitchers. So we're trying to do more work essentially on what does that mean in terms of, downtime and what he's able to do while he has that. He really just felt it kind of when he got to high intensity, but we'll have to see what the best way to get it to heal the fastest is.
Dude, the beginnings of a stress fracture in one of the vertebrae on his neck, and he feels it when he gets to high intensity, and we're trying to figure out what it means. Get more opinions, talk about it. I have no idea when we'll see Ben Brown again. No idea. I'm not going to throw weeks or months out there, but they have no idea. If when he gets to high intensity and starts throwing hard, his neck starts to hurt and it's because there's the beginnings of a stress fracture, you can't let that get worse. You go in and fix it? I don't know. And then Jordan Wicks with the grade 2 oblique. So, I mean, maybe they do need a starting pitcher. Maybe they will need a starting pitcher. What they will definitely need is to look in the minors and have more depth ready to go for a starting pitcher. Scary. in my opinion. Need Cade Horton back because he might, but Cade Horton's still in full shutdown mode here. Rough spot. Let's talk to Jeff in Wisconsin on 670 The Score. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Speaks. God bless you. God bless all the fathers out there. And, man, did I love seeing Billy Williams sing yesterday. He was my favorite player growing up.
That's awesome, Jeff. Billy was supposed to be on the video screen doing Take Me Out to the Ball Game from previous years. Instead, he showed up and did it in person. And it just totally sent a charge through the ballpark. Oh, no. Jeff, put him back up. See if his cell got better. He's been hanging on a long time. Jeff, you there? Nope. We have lost Jeff. What a sad time for everybody. Texter says, Spiegs, respectfully disagree on Morrell. I don't think he's a long-term answer. I think we should get some value now. Either way, thanks a bunch. Have a great day. And Tributosaurus rocks. You're kind. Let's talk to you about your fathers. If you want to dial it up and get involved, we're going to devote a lot of the next hour to your fathers and baseball. And we're going to talk to a dad at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, Nicky Lopez's father, Bob. And I just keep getting more information about Bob Lopez's 16-inch softball cred in this town. It is unbelievable.
Some connected sources, man.
I know. My favorite baseball fan, Herb Spiegel, joins next on Father's Day on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.